This audio presentation was recorded in a chapel service at InterVarsity's National Service Center in Madison, Wisconsin. The speaker is Chuck Hohenbaum. The topic is Spiritual Lessons from Fishing.
Thank you. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the beginning of spring, because the snow that was in front of my house is finally gone. I live in a cul-de-sac, and all winter long they've been pushing all the snow from the cul-de-sac onto one side, and on Sunday it finally all melted off. Spring, for me, also still has this sense of chapter camp is coming. I can't help it. It's just always there. And I love chapter camp. I love the intensity of teaching for a week and investing deeply in the lives of students at camp. I love the way God did business in the lives of students and watching students do business with God. I love the new Christian parties that we would have each night, it seemed, at camp. I love living in community with my staff peers, and I love the pranks we would pull on one another. I love the late night games of hearts, usually sitting in Wrangler's Lodge at Bear Trap Ranch, and we would just play hour after hour. I also love the chance to fish. I loved it whether I was on a lake in central Minnesota or up in the Colorado Rockies, not only working with the students, but I loved to go fishing. And I always seemed to find some way to find my rod and my reel and a piece of water to fish on. Fishing has become one of the great joys of my life. I didn't grow up fishing. Steve knows I grew up on the outskirts of Detroit, and being a city kid, I didn't have a lot of interest in fishing, and I didn't have a lot of opportunities to fish either. But I got the fishing bug in my late 20s. One of my student leaders, his family had a cabin in central Minnesota, and one weekend, Lynn took me to the family cabin, and he showed me how to fish. And pardon the pun, but I have been hooked ever since. So this morning, I thought I would bring some props. I've dressed down a little bit so that I could look a little bit more appropriate, as if I was spending some time fishing. So I brought my vest, I brought my rod, and I brought a cap that I normally wear when I'm out fishing. I was tempted to bring my hip waders. But you have to understand, hip waders for me are really armpit waders. So I just thought that probably was not a good idea. As much as I love fishing, I have to be honest with you, I'm not very good at it. Most of the time, oh goodness gracious, what has gone on here? Oh, I'm going the wrong way. There we go. Most of the time, I'm not catching much but weeds and reeds. So I'm not all that good at fishing. I try hard, I spend a lot of time on the water, but often I come up with nothing. Fishing is not an uncommon topic or image in the scriptures. In fact, one of the most well-worn and well-known passages in the Bible involves Jesus interacting with some fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. My guess is that you know this story as well as I do, and perhaps even better. But the version I like the most comes from Luke chapter 5. Let me read it for you. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he went, sat down, and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come up and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This morning, I want to take a brief look at this passage and also reflect on my experiences as a chapter planter and how these two tie together. Now, this may not be overly profound. I don't think it's all that deep, but I'm hoping you'll find something here that's either encouraging for you, challenging for you, or may help you pray for our chapter planters. Peter had the surprise of his life as he stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee that day. He was in the crowd listening to Jesus. The crowd is growing. More and more people are coming. Jesus spies Simon Peter's boat. He climbs into it and continues his teaching. When he's done, he says to Simon, he says, "Let's go fish." Like my friend Lynn, he asked Peter to take him fishing. Well, Peter at first objects. He's not all that keen about fishing that morning. He'd fished all night. They had caught absolutely nothing. The boats had already come in, and they'd been cleaned, and the nets were being repaired, and the nets were being cleaned as well. And finally, I don't think Peter thought they would catch anything. He had no anticipation, no thought that they would catch any fish. But reluctantly, he does, as Jesus asks. The text says, "Because you say so, we will go." So Peter goes out there, even though I don't think he expected to catch a single thing. Peter's response after this incredible catch of fish happens is remarkable. To his great surprise, they catch lots of fish. So much so that when they fill both boats are on the verge of sinking. I have to believe this may have been the largest catch of his life. And Peter is stunned. His response is to fall to his knees, to confess his sin, and to acknowledge the lordship of Christ. As I've lived in this passage for years, this is one of my favorite passages from the Gospels for lots of reasons. But there have been so many things the Lord has nurtured my heart and soul with in the passage. One of them is this. I just want to highlight one. Jesus reveals himself to Peter in the midst of Peter's failure, in the area of his greatest competence. He could have revealed his lordship to Peter in a myriad of different ways, but he chooses to do it in the midst of failure in an area that Peter was an expert. He'd been around fishing most of his life. Certainly he knew more about fishing than this carpenter preacher from Nazareth. He must have. So when Jesus says to him, "Let's go fishing," Peter knows better. "We're not going to catch anything. I know this trade, you don't, but we'll go anyway. I failed all night long, we didn't catch a single thing, but because you say so, we'll go." No matter how hard Peter had tried the night before, he was completely unsuccessful. He had failed. And that's when Jesus shows his lordship. He provides supernaturally in a way that Peter could never have provided by himself or for himself. And by doing so, I think Jesus puts an exclamation point on his lordship at that time. Teaching with authority is one thing. He'd been doing that. But now Jesus orchestrates a large catch of fish, and this was something else. I think it was just as significant that Peter caught no fish the night before as if the Lord, in his sovereign power, kept the fish away. Just as the next morning, in his sovereign power, he brought all the fish in. This experience was so significant for Peter. He leaves his life as a fisherman and joins Jesus in his quest to fish for men and women for the sake of the kingdom of God. It completely transformed his life. He was never the same again. And it causes me to ask a question. Have you had an experience like this? When you've met the Lord in the midst of failure, when it was obvious that you had run out of all options on your own level, there was nothing else you could do. And that's when the Lord showed up. He showed up providing for you in a way that was undeniably his doing because there was no other explanation. I have. And perhaps the most important one happened for me about 20 years ago. I began my student ministry as a campus intern in central Minnesota. For 2 years, I was mentored by a senior staff in evangelism, discipleship, and leadership. And I was taught how to start a new chapter someday. It was part of my initial training. And it was clear from my very first day working with students that after my 2-year internship, I would move to another city and start another student group at another college. Newly married, my wife and I moved to Fargo, North Dakota, of all places, to do that very thing. For a kid from Detroit, this was the last place I thought I would be.
For a kid from anywhere.
Yeah. I moved there not knowing a single Christian student. I'd never even been to North Dakota. I had a hard time finding it on a map. And as that fall semester began, I began to look for what we now call today missional Christians. The first one I befriended was a guy named Adrian. He was an agronomy student. I didn't even know what agronomy was then. He explained to me that his ambition in life was to become an expert in herbicides and weed control. I thought he was fooling me. Where I grew up, I had to pull weeds. I was not allowed to study them. If I said to my dad, "Dad, I don't want to pull these weeds in the garden. I'm just going to study them for a while," I would have been in big trouble. But he's spending 4 years studying weeds. I had no idea what an immense industry the agricultural chemical industry is. Had no idea. Adrian introduced me to some other Christians he knew on campus, but none of them were the kind of students that I could build a chapter with. By the end of that school year in May, I could count maybe 5, maybe 6 students to work with. I spent an entire year, 5, maybe 6 students. In some ways, it was like catching fish, but they were small ones. They were weak ones, and there weren't very many at all. And I was a bit discouraged. I really was. And yet, I looked forward to the next fall. My life tends to be half full, not half empty. My cup tends to be half full. So I'm thinking, well, it can only get better, right? I have 6 students to start with. That's better than 0. I was in for a surprise in September when 3 out of the 6 told me they were no longer interested in helping me start this chapter. Whew, that was a pretty big blow. It's pretty discouraging. And whether I was either naive or full of faith, I thought I'd better plunge ahead. And I thought to myself, there are 10,000 students at this school. How hard can it be to find 30 or 40 by the end of the year? It can't be that tough, can it? And that's what we prayed and worked for. By the end of that year, I had maybe 10. That's better than 6, but it wasn't really where I wanted to be. Perhaps I felt like Peter did. I'd fished all night. It felt like I had caught nothing, or maybe just a few small fish. I was tired. I was really discouraged. I was doubting my abilities. I grumbled at God a lot. I began to doubt my call. I wanted to pull my boats up to shore, pull in those nets, put them away, and not go back. Something wouldn't let me do it, though. And that's when the Lord did something remarkable. I ended the second year with maybe 10 students. By September, half of them told me they didn't want to be a part of this either. I was now down to 5. But during that first month on campus with new student outreach, the Lord helped me connect with 10 solid missional Christians. And you know what? They found me. I did not find them. Somehow the Lord, like I think he did for Peter that morning, he brought the fish to my nets. They came with a God-inspired vision of what could be done. They came with an enthusiasm that was absolutely infectious. They were the kind of people that seemed to know everyone else on campus, and everybody else on campus wanted to be their friend. And by the end of that year, we had 40 students in the chapter. By the end of the second year, it grew to 80. And by the third year, the year after that, we were up to over 100 students. We began to dream about starting yet another chapter at another school 5 years away. 10 to 15 of my best students joined me. And we started in the sixth year a second chapter at this other college. And the first night we had our large group meeting, when we went public, as it were, more than 80 students walked in that door. I was stunned. I stood in the back of the room watching the students come in, and I wept. I could not believe the goodness of God. Like Peter, I confessed my sin. Excuse me. I acknowledged his lordship. It was all his doing. It had nothing to do with us or what we had done. It was as if the Lord wanted to reveal his lordship in an area that I thought I was completely competent, but I had failed year after year, and then he showed up. And like Peter, it completely transformed my life. What started as a couple-year experiment in student work has now stretched into more years than I care to tell you about. I had met the Lord in the midst of certain failure. When it was obvious that I'd run out of all options, I found the Lord showing up and providing for me in a way that completely transformed me. It was undeniably his doing. A second surprise happened to me last summer in northern Wisconsin. This time I was vacationing with our best friends from Minnesota at a lake cabin up north. One afternoon, my kids begged me to take them out fishing. In the previous 4 days, I had caught exactly 3 fish. That's not much of a success, and it doesn't do a whole lot to inspire your children, but they still wanted to go out and fish. So I said, fine. We got the boat out, jumped in, and went out to fish. And you know, we were in about 30 yards out off the shore, about 5 to 6 feet of water. Everything was wrong about this. It was hot, really hot. It was in the 90s. It was way too hot for any fish of any size in shallow water. They like to go deep where it's cold. It was 1:30 in the afternoon. It's not dawn or dusk when fish like to be caught. It was the wrong time of day. I pulled out my rod. I had some light 8-pound test on it. I put a little spinner on with a leech, and I thought, if I can catch 1 or 2 small bass, I will be really happy. I haven't caught a lot of fish. And that's when something surprised me. Something hit my little spinner with a force that almost knocked me over. I couldn't believe it. And it started running for deep water. As I began to slowly reel this fish in, it dawned on me, this thing's pretty big, whatever it is. My rod is bent completely in half. I've got a light, and I'm thinking, I better be careful. This thing could get away. I mean, it could break my rod or break my line real easy. I don't have a lot of beef on either one of them right now. It was clear that it was a decent-sized fish. As we got it closer to shore, it jumped out of the water, and that was the first time we got a glimpse of it. And I thought, oh, my goodness. My children dropped their rods, ran to the side of the boat, and were cheering. It was much bigger than I anticipated. In fact, when I brought it up to the boat to try to bring it in, it dawned on me my net was way too small. I tried to net it, only the front half went in. So I dropped the net and had to lift it out of the water with both of my hands. I had never seen a muskie before. I didn't even know what this was. Brought it in, and it dawned on me, this is a foreign fish to me. This is not a little bluegill. I pulled out my fish identification card, and I went, gee, it's a muskie. That's pretty good. It was nearly 4 feet long and weighed 14 pounds. People say that it takes 10,000 casts to catch a muskie when you know what you're doing. That was not me. I got one with the wrong bait in the wrong place at the wrong time of day. None of this made sense. None of it. But there it was, the biggest catch of my life. I don't think Peter's big catch made any sense to him either. There was no reason to think he'd catch anything that day. But he did. And his life was never the same again. God is like that. Sometimes it's in those moments when we're completely surprised that the greatest transformations take place. Don, thank you.